Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Monday, January 11th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 28, the third paragraph down, starting with the Distinguished American Psychologist. And we'll be reading that one paragraph only, and our discussion will just be on that paragraph. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Cindy H., The 12 Traditions, Alice G., and readers of the text are Kara L., Shelley E., and Mary G. The share ID for Sunday, January 10th, is 16,166. That is 16166. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, January 11th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,171. That's 16171. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and our announcements coordinator is Leslie M. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Cindy H. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi, this is Cindy H. from Michigan, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy H. And I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, all. Alice G. in Wisconsin, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our
Alice, you're kind of faded. Get closer to your phone?
Sure. Is
there
that better?
Are. That's good. Okay. Much better. Thank you.
Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern.
3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve, Pat.
Thank you, Alice G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's the star 1 feature on your phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 28, the third paragraph down. It begins with the distinguished American psychologist. And I will ask Kara L. to get us started. Good morning, Tara. Kara.
Good morning, Mo. No worries. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. The distinguished American psychologist William James, in his book Varieties of Religious Experience, indicates a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understanding terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. There is no friction among us over such matters. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. I love this paragraph because this paragraph really, it just talks about accessibility, right? For me, I know that my higher power, I feel for me, my higher power was just waiting for me, you know, waiting for me to be willing and honest enough. You know, Bill says in his story that we read earlier that, you know, all one has to do is in that second step, believe that there is something greater. And what that looks like, you know, God as you understand God, you know, that's up to the individual. And I'll tell you that my higher power grows and grows. My higher power is abundant
And I've come to believe that I really, my human mind cannot encompass everything that my higher power is. You know, and so when I just leave myself open and I believe that there is something greater than me, and then I work diligently every day to plug in, to turn towards and lay myself into that higher power, life goes well. And how do I work diligently every day? I work the steps. I continue to enlarge my spiritual life, and I work with others. You know, and religiously, you know, I found for myself, the closer I drew to my higher power, the more I started relying on my higher power for the decisions of my life, for inspiration, for intuitive thought, the more I became faithful. It enhanced my religion. It allowed me to become closer and more devout. So I just practiced every day, and I say this all the time, and many people hear me. I just continually turn to my higher power for every decision in my life. I ask for intuitive thought, inspiration, or decisions. You know, what should I have for breakfast? What should I wear? Please give me the intuitive thought for how this day needs to go today. Today is my day off. So I asked this morning, you know, guide me through my day so I may be best of service to you and to my fellows. It's beautiful that we can come to our higher power, however it works for us. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kara L., for getting us started. That's Kara L. from California. And so I'm going to take names of those who'd like to share. But first, I'd like to say, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Thursday or Friday, please let others share today. Who would like to share?
Shelly E.
Shelly E.
Kathleen, this is Nancy L.
Nancy L. I heard two at a time there.
Debbie F.
I heard Kathleen. And who was that, Debbie? Debbie F.?
Yes, Debbie F.
Arlene B.
Arlene
B.
B. Okay.
Nancy L.
Nancy L. Anybody else? Okay, with all those except Shelly E, please mute your phone again. And I'm, so I have Shelly E, Kathleen O, Debbie F, Arlene B, and Nancy L. Good morning, Shelly E.
Good morning. Good morning, Mom. Good morning to everyone. This is Shelly E, a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Texas. And I found when I read this paragraph, what it was telling me is that this program, thank God, accepts all denominations, religions, practices, and walks of faith. And what it's not telling me is an exact way in which I can find or determine my higher power. I'm instructed to be willing and honest enough to try. Mastery is not a requirement. And so first I had to realize there's a higher power, and that power is not me. And I have to realize that all day long. I have to remind myself of that, because very quickly I can try and take the reins away from my higher power. And at that point, I'm responsible for my own surrender to the power. At this point, I have a living and breathing relationship with my higher power. And it also, I like that these guys knew the importance of each one of us being responsible for our own surrender. I can take someone through the book, I can help them, but everybody is required to get to their higher power in their own way. And it is through that surrender that my relationship with my higher power, and through that I exist in the recovered state that I'm in. So with that, I'll pass. Have a good day.
Well, thank you, Shelly E. Kathleen O, followed by Debbie F. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo.
Thank you for moderating this morning, and thank you for everyone doing service this morning. This is Kathleen O. in Recovered in Northern California. So we have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. So there's no right or wrong way to this path of finding this new life, finding this power. You know, this life of not being obsessed with food, a life that is accepting of other people. For me, it's this life of love and freedom. And, you know, when I first read this paragraph this morning, I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone followed these directions? You know, what would happen if everyone just allowed each other their own political views without condemning or judging? I mean, we'd have a different world, I think. But, you know, these steps are designed to help us find a power that will change how we think, feel, and act. And it's a vital spiritual experience is what makes this program work. And all I needed was honesty and willingness. You know, keeping, once I found that connection, keeping that connection, growing that connection, having that connection is what gives us the solution to our eating problem. And that's why it's so important to do this, for me, prayer and meditation every day, because I'm not going to grow that connection or keep that connection if I'm not connecting. It's, you know, friendships, you continue to develop those friendships. You don't just stop talking to people. You don't have the friendship anymore. So it really is, about being willingness and honesty. You know, these steps allow us to live free. And when I struggled with getting this power, I just had to be willing to be willing. And miraculously, that willingness just kind of morphed into this very deep connection with the power of my understanding. And it really does work. You know, I couldn't do it on my own. I tried over and over and over and over. And when I finally made the decision to accept spiritual help and allow this power to live in my heart, my life changed. And this is all inclusive, you know. If we want to stop drowning, all it takes is honesty and willingness. So no matter what our religion or non-religion, no matter our conception, there's no friction, there's no conflict. We let others believe what works for them. And that's what makes this program so amazing. It's okay that you and I think differently. We do what works for us. And, you know, we accept what works for each other. Even though it may be different from our own beliefs, it's totally okay. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Well, thank you, Kathleen O. Debbie F., followed by Arlene B. Good morning, Debbie.
Hi, this is Debbie F., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Thank you, Mo, for moderating and for the shares so far. And I'm coming up on 10 years in, and I'm even just seeing the word like bride is a religious experience like that. I was just not open to the idea of religion coming in. You know, I came with a lot of prejudice about that and ideas. And so in reflecting on, it was the pain of the disease and the not knowing what to do anymore, the powerlessness, and just seeing that I had no other options that kept me open to, okay, I've got to just keep going because I on my own have no power. So there must be something. And I would not have known that my desire to stop compulsive eating and throwing up and you know, all of the whack-a-mole symptoms of the disease for me were the solution was God. You know, it was all, I just wanted the solution to stop doing the thing. So I'm grateful that I was in such pain that I kept coming back, and that over the years that I have found an opening, and I am more, my relationship with my higher power has continued to grow through step 11, you know, through that prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact. And so whereas now I'm in a place where like I'm looking at like I'm seeking out other places, you know, and looking at religious things, looking at different spiritual teachings and just being so much more open, but it didn't come right away. And so I love how it's this gives us so much, as was mentioned, inclusivity. And yeah, while I may not have believed it for myself in the beginning, I knew that there was, my solutions no longer worked. And so just grateful to be a compulsive overeater for today, and look forward to what everyone else has to share. Thanks.
Thank you, Debbie F. Next is Arlene B., followed by Nancy L., and then after Nancy, we'll take some more names.
Hello, this is Arlene B. in Southern Florida, recovered compulsive eater. It's wonderful to be on this meeting today. I'm outdoors enjoying a beautiful day that God's provided. You know, for many years, I've been in 12-step rooms since the 70s. For many years, I made my sponsors my higher power. And after a while, that failed to work because sooner or later, they would want me to do something that was just beyond my acceptability. And we soon parted ways. But when I came into this program, and thank God I just celebrated a year in January of abstinence through the vision. When I came into the vision, my sponsor told me that I would really have to turn everything over to God, not to her, you know, that she would not be the arbiter of my life. And that took a lot of faith, a lot of a different kind of faith. And, you know, we are judgmental people as a group. And one of the things about this being such an inclusive program is that when I let go of judgment of others, when I let go of comparing myself, when I let go of feeling that in some way my faith isn't as strong as someone else's, then I know that I am accepting who I am today and accepting the way God wants me to be and to feel. And that's been working for me. I do turn to God throughout the day. Right now, I'm hoping to sponsor more people. I've taken two through the steps in Vision, and they're doing well. And this is a program that cannot fail, you know, if I do the work. And if I keep correcting my mistakes through the 10th and 11th steps. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Arlene B. And before I go to Nancy L., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 28, the third paragraph down. It starts with the distinguished American psychologist, and we're reading just that one paragraph only, and I will take names of those after Nancy. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for taking my call this morning. And can I be heard now?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I just think Tara, I believe was her name, that read and shared. That was so beautiful. Thank you for your service there. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. And I think the beauty of the AA and the OA program are summed up in this paragraph. It has always been amazing to me that this program is for everyone, regardless of religious belief or non-belief. I have watched other programs where non-believers came in and used the 12 steps, and they came to be a believer in a God. I came into this program in 2014. And when I came in and I heard them talking about higher power and God, and I thought, oh, well, this is nothing. This is nothing new. I've believed in God all my life, and I've prayed. But my prayers, when I prayed, did nothing to stop my overeating. I would pray for 1 minute and then start my binge eating in the next one. And I didn't understand this at all. I thought, now, I believe in God. God is so powerful. Why doesn't God stop this for me? And I had to get to a very low state, almost a point of death, before I could realize God is interested in all of my life. He is interested in what I eat, what I do, who I speak to, and he wants all my life turned over to the God of my understanding today. And I'm so grateful that I had a spiritual experience because I have this disease of my body and obsession of my mind. And God has taken over, and God is with me every day as I go to him, as I check myself every day with step 10, and I go to my God of my understanding, praying only for knowledge of his will for me, and then being empowered to carry that will out, whatever it is, whether it's to talk to a newcomer, to help someone else along the way, to work on something for myself. I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful for every person on this line, and I thank you for being here today because you have helped me, and you have helped me to grow stronger in my belief and in my program. So with that, I pass, and I thank you for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Nancy L. Although we value All right. Thank you. All right. Let me say this first before I take names. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'll take names now.
Susan P.
I got Susan C.
Janice P.M.
Janice P.M.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Was that? Yeah. Got you, Deborah.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Got Susan
Freya
C,
H.
Janice, Freya H. Gotcha, Freya.
Freya.
Who was that? Is that somebody? Okay, I got Susan C, Janice PM, Deborah G, Freya H. Anyone else in this group?
Lois P.
Lois P. And was there somebody else after Lois?
Mary,
okay.
A compulsive overeater.
Mary, what's your last initial, Mary?
Mary H.
Gotcha, Mary. Okay, let's stop there. And if you're not Susan
call,
C., please mute your phone. Please mute your phone. Susan C., Janice P.M., Deborah G., Freya H., Lois P., and Mary H. And we'll start with Susan C. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. This is Susan C. from Pennsylvania, and I am newer to Visions, but not to program, and OA, and I've been listening a lot to the meetings, and I'm so grateful. And, you know, I just love the fact about how there's the focus on the spiritual aspect of it more. You know, and what recovery really is. And I noticed, like, all of a sudden I had, like, these different feelings and attitude towards, like, my family and friends. Like, I was always trying to tell people what to do and judging and this and that. And it's like, and also from being on the meetings, just listening, you know, to what people have to say. And that's what I try to do now, like when I talk to family or friends, kind of listen. And the quieter that I get, that I'm able to connect with my higher power. So it's like there's that love and gentleness that's really welling up from the readings and listening to the meetings, and it feels really wonderful, you know, to have that change. And I really feel that I agree. You don't have to be any particular religion or belief or anything like that to be able to have the experience and the knowledge and be able to really have this higher power in your life. And it's been great because I've been able to say in the morning, I do the morning prayer from the big book. And it's like just asking, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Thy will be done. You know, rather than to compulsively just do something or act on something real quick, you know. So I feel very, very grateful, and I wish everybody a peaceful, happy day. Healthy. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Susan C. Janice P.M., you're up, followed by Deborah G.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yes, girl. Thank you.
Good morning to you, my dear, Mo H. and everybody. My name is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Boston, Massachusetts. This paragraph today, to me, after, you know, many experiences, is so, so true. You know, when you first come in, when I first came in, I heard the word God. And I said, oh, I got this down, Pat, because, you know, I believed in a God, and I went to Catholic school and all that stuff. But, you know, what it's really telling us, you don't have to believe. If you want to believe in the God of your, you know, of your religion, that's fine. Whether you're Catholic, Buddhist, Jewish, it doesn't matter. But if it's not working for you, which it didn't work for me, because you know why it didn't work? Because I wasn't practicing the principles of the church, the same, of God, the same principles that this book and you have taught me through the 12 steps. But guess what? They're the same principles. There's nothing different. It's me. I didn't practice. I didn't do. I didn't act honest. I wasn't hopeful. I wasn't faithful. I didn't have any courage. I didn't have integrity. I wasn't willing, et cetera, et cetera. I thought I was the God. I didn't have any humility. You know, I had disturbances. I wasn't persevering. So, yeah, when we say, well, I have God, I'm this and I'm that, yeah, but we're not practicing it. And, you know, the whole purpose of these steps and in this whole 12 steps in this book is to find a higher power of your own understanding. It's not wrong if you don't go along with your religion. If you do, that's great. If you don't, that's up to God to be the judge. And I found that, you know, I was looking for an eating solution to a spiritual problem. I didn't know that. I could tell you anything to eat, what diet, what to do, blah, blah, blah. But it didn't solve anything. But as soon as I embarked on these 12 steps, I found the power. And we don't talk about religion, but if you have a religion, you're more than welcome. Because it says in the, I think on page 46, it's all inclusive, which means it doesn't matter who you are. And God is a broad, it's a spirit that goes so broad and wide. So as long as we don't find anything disturbing between the 12 steps and I will in religion, and I will pass. Thank you, Mo.
Yes, thank you very much, Janice P.M. Deborah G., followed by Freya H. Good morning. Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo, and thank you so much again for being of service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater, and grateful to be on this meeting this morning, and so grateful because I was remembering back when, before any kind of recovery, how spiritually lost I was. You know, it's just like I suffered from soul sickness. And I remember when I started into a recovery, that I started to explore different spiritual paths. And it was really, I am so grateful that I did that. I went in open-minded and had the experiences. I'm glad I had all those experiences. And I still do other experiences with that. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful spiritual way of life, you know. And I'm going to continue to keep doing that. And that has helped me to be open to others and their spiritual path, because I continue to learn and learn and learn. The vastness of the learning in this area is just amazing. And thank you all for your shares today. I'll pass.
Thank you, Deborah G. Freya H., followed by Lois P. Good morning, Freya.
Good morning, Mo. This is Freya H. Am I heard clearly? Enough?
Yes, yes, you are being heard clearly.
Thank you. I was having trouble unmuting earlier.
No, you're on. Okay.
Thanks. I am a compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado, and when I heard this morning, I put myself into it, what I heard was, you know, do I have any desire to convince anyone that there's only one way by which faith can be acquired? Have I learned and felt and seen that all of us, whatever our race, creed, and color, are the children of the living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try? And that was really powerful for me to recognize that the answer is yes. Yes, I do have this experience, and it is such a relief that I don't need to be disturbed by anyone else's beliefs or ceremonies. I don't need to feel any friction by someone else having a different relationship with a higher power. And it's just so beautiful and powerfully stated. You know, they, true to form with the rest of the book, they're saying it from their own experience. So, you know, they're saying, if what we have learned and felt and seen, and my experience is when I'm really, you know, when I get those moments, God moments, where I really feel connected to my higher power, it's nothing but love. It's nothing but comfort. It's nothing but being able to see the good in every situation. And I feel like that is expressed in this paragraph really beautifully. So, and that translates into the way that I work with others, and the way that I relate to other people, not just in meetings, but in my life. So to try to practice this kind of love and tolerance the result is that I get to be so much more peaceful, because I'm freed from the judgment, the evaluation, the trying to make sense, the trying to figure out who's right, trying to figure out what's the right way to do things. And I could apply that not just to spiritual matters, but I can apply that in other areas of my life. You know, just that, can I look for the common good rather than whatever is divisive and trying to get it right. You know, in God's world, there is no one right way, and that is such a relief to me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Freya H. I have next Lois P., followed by Mary H., and we may have time for a few more after that, so let's see. Lois P., good morning.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully and happily recovered in New York. I love that William James says varieties, because I grew up in a very traditional religion, and I always had a love for God, even as a child. But that love was somehow separate. It was outside of me. You know, God was not a part of my beingness that I lived every day. And as I've evolved and gone through program and gone through life, but especially now in program, that there's an intimacy now with God that I didn't have before. It's an infusion that has come into me. And the variety of experiences can be when you're looking into the eyes of a child that's stirring in your heart, or when you're out at the ocean, you know, and you're just in awe of the beauty and the magnificence of what you're experiencing, when you see a tiny little flower, you know, pushing up from the concrete. And you stop in your walk because you're amazed. These are, to me, these are the varieties of spiritual experience that open my heart to that higher power, to that indescribable, ineffable, absolutely beyond my comprehension experience of something that is greater. And it, again, it can be quite simple. It has been very simple very often for me. Seeing your puppy running around with the joy or your kitten, just being enthralled at that moment where my mind stops and I'm just, my heart is open to the beauty and the joy and the amazement of what I'm living and experiencing. Those are the experiences that I believe anyone can have. It has nothing to do with religion, and it actually can enhance one's religious experience because now it's an internal, living, viable, real knowingness as we go through each day. And that love that comes up when we're helping someone else, or we're looking at a gorgeous sunset, we're climbing a mountain, and suddenly we're stricken, you know, with this incredible stillness and peacefulness. All of these, to me, are examples of the varieties of deep spiritual experiences that I'm sure everyone has experienced at some point in their life. And to me, that's the door that when it opens, even for that moment, gives me the real experience of a living presence that is beyond my understanding, and yet it's a knowingness that it's real, that often brings me to tears, brings me to a state of complete gratitude for everything around me. And that's why I think James is saying there's a variety. We all are that. We are individual expressions of this divine creator, and the door to our heart is the key to that relationship. At least it has been for me. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Lois P. We'll now have Mary H., and we're on page 28 for those who just got on. Third paragraph down, the distinguished American psychologist, and after Mary, I may take one or two more names. Good morning, Mary. Mary, press star one. Can't hear you. Okay. Looks like Mary's having some technical difficulties. So would anyone else like to share on this paragraph?
Margaret D.
This Margaret is Peg. D.
Peg. Peg from New Jersey. Yes.
All right. We'll just take you two. So Margaret D and Peg G. Thank you. All right, Margaret, you go ahead and speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo, for all of your service. And thank you, everybody, for being here this morning. My name is Margaret D., and I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater, and I'm in Georgia. When I read this paragraph about the varieties of religious experience, what that brings to mind for me, I always think better in, I mean, I understand things better when I can get a picture of it in my mind, as opposed to just understanding or trying to understand what the actual words mean. So when I see even the title of his book, Varieties of Religious Experience, the picture that comes to me is of a prism. And as the prism, as light goes into the prism and you turn the prism, the light is divided into different wavelengths. And so you see all these different colors and all you have all these different experiences of the original light that was shown into the prism. And each individual light is not less than, I'm sorry, each light that the prism reflects back out is not less than the original light that was shown in. It's just a part of it. And so if you could make a prism
you know, that was delicate enough that it could split this shaft of life into as many wavelengths as you could, you would just be amazed at all. You would just be amazed. And I think that's why the varieties, you know, we look at the variety of the religious experience, not to say this is right or wrong or do this or do that, but it's like this is all a reflection for us back to what our higher power is like the magnitude. We'll never understand, we'll never be able to comprehend the magnitude or the complexity or the totality. And that's what makes people so doggone fun, is we get to see a little piece of it here, there, and everywhere else. And when I do this, when I say no, you know, it's my way or the highway, I've just effectively taken a little hammer and smashed the prism. And there are certain things about my higher power that I'll never see because they're only expressed through that person. It's such a beautiful way of living, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I have no, and I'll just wrap it up. I have no clue what I did or didn't do to be a part of this community, but I'm so grateful. And if you're a still suffering compulsive eater, you are so welcome here. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Margaret D. Peg G. You're up next. Good morning, Peg. Press star one, Peg. Can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I had difficulty there. Thank you so
much. No problem.
Thank you to everyone, every share. I just wanted to say I have been blessed my whole life with a spiritual faith out of my religious tradition. But now in the program, that faith, that belief in God, the power of God is deeper and wider. And there's nothing in the program that's in conflict with any of my spiritual or religious belief systems. And lastly, I want to say is I could never relate when people said I'm a grateful, compulsive overeater. And today I can say that, and the gratitude is because I would never have all that I have with God, with the fellowship of people, without this disease. So thank you. I pass.
Well, thank you. And is Mary H. back on the line? If not, we can take one more share.
Yes. I'm Mary, a compulsive overeater, recovered a day at a time.
Is this Mary H.?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. I'm from Rockland, Massachusetts, and I have been in program for a long time, but not truly abstinent for years. I was using it as a diet, and over a year ago, I was in the hospital for depression, and I would say, God help me, but then I would say, God doesn't help me. And gratefully, when I left the hospital, God had heard me, and I was able to do the first three steps and especially turn my life over to God. Now, God is part of my life every day. I look for His will for me in all that I do, even simple things that you do as a housewife and as a wife and a mother. It has changed my life in many areas. My relationship with my family has improved as I try to listen to them instead of telling them solutions of their life. They don't want to hear my solutions, or they may listen a little bit, but I can't control what they do. I have a better relationship with my friends, and they have commented that I have patience and I have a good attitude, and they can see the change in me. And I listen to them about their problems and trying not to try to solve it for them, but basically listen. They seem to find their own answer. I pray every day. I do my readings, and I do writing when I have a problem. And sometimes I have to go on the phone to another OA member who has helped me and listened to me and pretty much knows my life. And this is a miracle that you can, when you can't solve it by writing and reading, you have an OA member who will really calm you down and face what's going on. And I'm grateful that I can ask God for all the little things and plan my day and say, if this is not your way for me, help me to look for what your will is.
Hi,
and
Mary.
At the end of the, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And thank you all who gave voice at this meeting and shared on this paragraph. And the thanks to all giving service on Team Monday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Shelley E. to read A Vision for You.
Hi, Mom. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation, which you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. I pass.